As the Russian foreign minister arrives in Damascus, Syria's president says he is committed to ending months of violence in his country. But can Russia mediate a peaceful settlement? Who is responsible for the death and destruction? And will Syria overcome this crisis without foreign intervention? Stay with News Analysis.
Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov received a hero's welcome by thousands of Syrians after his country's strong support for Syria at the UN Security Council last week. Lavrov described his meeting with Syrian President Bashar al-Assad as very useful and called for the start of national dialogue.
We ensured our readiness to help as soon as possible to end the crisis based on the positions mentioned in the Arab League's initiative. Mr. President ensured his commitment to end the violence from any source.
Moscow, along with Beijing, stood up for President Assad's government at the UN by blocking an anti-Syria resolution which was aimed at removing President Assad from power. The move was met with bitter reaction from the U.S., France and Britain, along with some Arab countries like Qatar and Saudi Arabia. They've now begun using other methods to put pressure on Damascus, including recalling their ambassadors from Syria and expelling Syrian envoys. Western countries led by the U.S. are planning to push for fresh sanctions against Syria and to consider an anti-Syria UN General Assembly resolution. All this despite Syria's announcement that it has completed the preparation of a new constitution as part of efforts to implement reforms. Meanwhile, informed sources from inside Syria have uncovered a U.S. plot to overthrow the government. The sources say the scenario is already underway with the recognition of the Syrian opposition as the legitimate government of the country and granting them offices in Turkey to work against the Syrian government. Washington will then wage a full-scale propaganda campaign against the Syrian government, accusing it of committing war crimes. This will be followed by ordering Ankara to deploy troops across the border into Syria to trigger a bloody civil war. The U.S. also plans to arm Qatari-backed Wahhabi fighters in order to attack Syrian border villages. Israel will also play its role by expressing readiness to carry out operations against Syria. The final stages of the scenario include further weakening of the government and the military by engaging them with al-Qaeda militants and encouraging Syrian forces to switch sides. The scenario is designed to culminate in the assassination of President Assad. The Syrian government has so far shown it will not easily give in to foreign pressure. Damascus has repeatedly called for ending the violence through a political process involving all the Syrians.
Well, joining me now live from London is Mr. Deepak Tripathi, writer and commentator, in Beirut, Riyad Bassoun, strategic expert, and with us live from Damascus, Mr. Ahmad Shlash, chief of the Al-Busaraya tribe. I'll put my first question to our guest in Damascus. Mr. Shlash, we're seeing the Russian foreign minister in Syria now. The question is, can Russia find a peaceful settlement to the crisis?
Yes, good evening, ma'am. And thank you for having us at the Iranian TV. I would say that Russia, since day one, has tried to see a way through all the what's happening in the world against Syria through saying one word: we need that the dialogue to be Syrian only, and the solve of these matters is through Syrian hands only, without any person interfering with our country. And this is what they have explained to their colleagues in the UN, and they have tried to explain it to all the world, but unfortunately nobody is trying to understand what's happening in our country. And we see the visit that they have made today, although they are always welcomed in our country, and although that what they have said through the media is that we are trying to solve the problem peacefully and we support all the kind of dialogues, right. But I see it also in another way. It's a strategic step, madam. It's a strategic visit, more than only trying to solve the problem or giving their opinion about what's happening in Syria. Because there are a lot of things happening, And I think that they've got a lot of information about these things. So in my own point of view, it's a strategic visit.
Right. Let's go to Beirut now. Mr. Basson, have your view on this. When Russia is calling for dialogue and a peaceful settlement of the situation in Syria, we're seeing the Syrian president today announcing that a committee has been tasked with leading these talks with the opposition. The question is this going to work? I mean, talks and dialogue between the opposition group and the Syrian government, how effective is it going to be? And do you think, when we are speaking about that, when the Arab League and the West is saying the solution is for President Assad to resign, why would they be insisting on his resignation if dialogue could work?
So I think you pointed at the problem, madam. If you want a dialogue to succeed, you need first that the parties be wishing to dialogue. It seems that today the parties don't wish to dialogue one with each other, or if they want to dialogue, they don't want to do it directly, and more importantly, they do it with conditions that are unacceptable for either party. Now, it means that what the Russians are trying to do is not to find a solution, because the solution is found now since several months. However, is to establish new condition on the ground that may be dragging the two parties into accepting that dialogue. And what is happening today is that these conditions are not met yet, although neither party is today enough strong to destroy completely or annihilate completely the other, which makes it very weird, because when nobody is able to win, it means that both are going to lose. It means that dialogue should be the solution. And it is very weird to see that we are in a situation where nobody can win and nobody wants to dialogue.
Well, Mr. Basson, let's just stop you there. When you say that the Russians are there to create new conditions for the dialogue to go forward, I'd like to put this question to our guest in London. Mr. Tripathi, of course, a lot of political observers have been saying Russia's support for the Syrian regime right now is not going to be limited to its veto power at the UN Security Council. It's in Syria now. What kind of other assistance do you think Russia is prepared now to give to Syria? And when we are speaking about new conditions, do you think that Russia is going to do that for Syria?
I think Russia, after a long time, has started playing an assertive role in the politics of the Middle East. And the Russian veto, for the second time, along with the Chinese, since last October, was an indication of that. Russia has a lot at stake in Syria. It's probably the only Middle Eastern country that is friendly to Russia. Russia has the only naval base outside the old Soviet Union in Syria, and therefore its military presence, its diplomatic presence, its political presence are vital, and Russia is once again asserting that. How can Russia help President Assad? President Assad now presides over a country which is deeply split. There is no doubt about it. Even the Russians accept that. The question is, in the midst of the wider Arab Spring, how to create conditions for a peaceful resolution to the political crisis in Syria. And Russia is probably the only country that can bring some influence to bear on President Assad. How the Western powers react and their allies in the Arab world react
right
to the Russian influence remains to be seen.
Well, let's go back to Damascus now. I'd like to bring up some points with you, Mr. Shalash. When you say that Russia is looking for a peaceful settlement and that the issue of Syria should be resolved by the Syrians themselves, our guest in Beirut was suggesting that how can dialogue go forward when the two sides are not willing to enter into dialogue? What's your response to that? And how would you differentiate between the Arab Spring and what's happening in Syria?
Well, madam, I would like to say something to my friend in Lebanon. He said that they won't talk with each other. But during the promotion of your program, you have shown our president in the square, and he said in front of all the people and in front of all the media that we want to make a national dialogue. And he welcomed all kind of opposition to be included inside this dialogue. But unfortunately, these people who are saying that they are Syrian and they are the opposition, they don't have the, they can't, you know what I mean? They can't do something with themselves because they have their orders from their boss, which is the states and the people in the Gulf who have the money, madam. So they can't agree about something even if they want to do this. That's why there is no dialogue. But if it was for them, they would appreciate to have dialogue with the country that they are from, if they are truly Syrian. But I doubt it. I doubt it. And second thing, with my colleague in Lebanon, he said that neither of the two sides can finish the battle in the fields. Well, my friend, here you are very wrong, because the Syrian army is so strong, but they don't want to use excess force in treating these people, because at the end we still consider that they are Syrian people. And all what's happening is because of the place that our third colleague is sitting in, which is London, I mean England into brackets, and all of the other countries, including the states. I would like to ask my colleague in London, who made the European countries and the states the judge and the jury on all of the Arab world? Who made them the police of the Arab world? I would like you just to explain what kind of democracy they have delivered through their all time, through their time, to any kind of place they entered in or they interfered in. And if they are so democratic, why didn't they solve the problem which we have here in our countries, which is Israel? And they are defending it now with all what they can. So please, sir, don't speak with the politics and don't speak with democracy. We are fed up with it.
Right.
And why do you think that the Syrian people doesn't have dignity to defend their country? And our leader is a person which we love. We are not doing this because we are getting money like the others.
Well, let's go back to Beirut now and have your response, Mr. Bassoun. When we are speaking about how the world is treating the Syrian case, we're seeing, of course, the action at the UN Security Council. Countries like Qatar, like Saudi Arabia, and their Western allies, the United States and the UK, what are they looking for in the Syrian case? Are they, do you think, looking for a Libya-style intervention in Syria? Are they looking for a Yemeni-style political intervention when they say they want President Assad to resign? Or do you think this is more about getting involved militarily?
Yes, this is a very deep question. I'll answer it. Just allow me for half a minute to tell to my colleague in Damascus that when I'm talking about prevailing, one party prevailing over the other, I'm fortunately and thanks God talking about political prevalence, not military. I'm not talking about military because personally I would like to see the violence stopping, and I don't doubt about military capabilities of the Syrian army, of course, but I'm talking about political prevalence, political domination of one party of the other. This is why I think that dialogue is absolutely necessary, but I insist that the conditions for an effective dialogue today are not met, and what I believe is that what the Russians want to do is to create new conditions on the ground to have a new possible dialogue. Now, coming to your question now, what are the countries from the Gulf seeking? You know, Syria always had a centric position and a strategic role in all the Middle East politics. Which means that, with all due respect to other countries where uprisings have happened, a regime change in Syria may have significant consequences, impact on the whole entire region from the political point of view, but also from the security point of view. Now, it means that what is happening today in Syria definitely involves foreign intervention to an extent that is far larger than what happened, for example, in Tunis or even in Egypt or even in Libya before the NATO attacks.
Well, Mr. Basson, if I could just stop you there, if I may, because we're running out of time, unfortunately.
I'd just like to, in the region and in the world.
Excuse me, madam.
Right, Mr. Basson, I'd just like to stop you there, if I may.
We have seen in the Security Council two big, large nations like Russia and China using veto rights.
Mr. Basson, I'd like to stop you there, if I may, because I want to go to our guest in London before we run out of time, have his view on this as well. Mr. Tripathi, when we are speaking about the interventions, the arms smuggling taking place, the role of Saudi Arabia and Qatar that Syria has raised itself, what's your view on that?
There is growing evidence that external intervention is taking place in Syria, and Western voices at the United Nations and in Western capitals are quite shrill. I must clarify here that I'm sitting here in London as an independent observer. I don't carry any brief for the government of the country where I live, but I'm critical of external powers to try to shape events. I'm also critical of the view that external powers can dictate regime change in any country. And
right,
I think after the experience of Libya,
that's not going to happen. I'm afraid we're running out of time, and I'd just like to give the last minute to our guest in Damascus. Mr. Shalas, if you can just briefly tell us, do you think that Syria is headed to some kind of civil war, and can it overcome this crisis on its own?
Briefly talking, I don't think that we are heading to a civil war. This is what they have tried to do with us through that 11 months that we have passed by. But believe me, let's say 99% of the Syrian people are with the government, because we see that we have a lot of reforms happening. And let me tell you something. Don't think for a second that they want to change the regime because of strategic place. No, madam. They want to change also the regime in Iran, and the people in Lebanon who ask for freedom and who want their rights back.
Right.
Every country is not demanded and don't have the right through their way to ask for their liberty and to ask for their land. And now at the end, all of these countries have buried the Palestinian situation, and they are praying over it.
Mr.
So
Ahmed
they don't want
Shalas,
to
chief
make
of
them,
the Al Basaraya
think again
tribe.
About it.
I'm afraid we've run out of time. A big thank you there to Mr. Shalas in Damascus. Also, I'd like to thank our guest in Beirut, Mr. Riyad Bassoon, strategic affairs expert, and Mr. Deepak Tripathi, writer and commentator with us from London. I'm afraid we've run out of time for this program. From me, Homa Lezgi, and the rest of the team, it's goodbye.